It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We dig into the workforce development system and the level of cooperation between two-year colleges and business leaders who need a steady supply of workers. Employers and educators, they got to communicate on essential skills. And Harvard Business School conducted a survey on this relationship. Join in by calling with your questions about job training. Share your experiences as a teacher, as a worker, as an employer. 800-642-1234. Manjari Raman is director and senior researcher of the Managing the Future of Work project at Harvard Business School. She co-authored this new report on relationships between employers and community colleges. Manjari, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hi, Kate. Glad to be back again.
Well, set up this dynamic for us. Your paper describes this dysfunctional relationship between employers and two-year colleges. What is the problem here?
You know, the research started well before COVID, when we saw that despite everything that was going on in the economy was actually heating up quite well. Employment rates were falling. Employers were saying, we can't find people with the talent we need. Especially for middle skills positions, those that don't require a four-year college degree. When we talked to educators and we spoke to many community college leaders, they told us that they are struggling to get to understand the latest curriculum because the nature of jobs was changing so quickly in these middle skills positions. And then we knew that many students who would love to be in full-time positions and be earning a decent wage and, you know, have a career pathway, were struggling. So we started this research trying to look into this problem and say, you know, why is this whole ecosystem so misaligned?
And I just some terminology before you go further. Middle skill jobs, define what that is for us.
So middle skills positions are those positions that don't require a four-year college degree. Unfortunately, employers over the last decade have been slapping on the requirement of a four-year college degree in all their job postings. Actually, many positions simply don't require a four-year college degree, but they do require people who are workforce ready and have the right technical skills and also the right, what we call foundational skills like teamwork, problem solving. And what employers are telling us that in these middle skills positions, medical assistants, nursing assistants, production jobs, nail salons, computer support specialists, network security specialists, there are many, many such jobs. But employers are saying the talent that I'm seeing is not ready for the workforce. They seem to have the credential. They might have a certificate, but they are not yet ready for the workforce. And that actually goes back to the curriculum of what people are learning when they're back in school.
It seems odd that there wouldn't be active connections between industry and academia because it would be such a win-win. Why doesn't this relationship happen organically when they both really need each other?
That is a great question. And the challenge is that over the last 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 decades, go back in time as much as you want to, business and educators and leaders of community college settled into a comfortable low-level equilibrium. And everyone believes that that low-level equilibrium is fine. Well, the reality is over the last 2 decades, automation has come in like a huge force and completely changed the nature of many middle skills positions. Take, for example, an executive assistant. An executive assistant uses so many more technologies now, doesn't yet require a four-year college degree, but does need to know very well, let's say, something like the Microsoft Office Suite set of software. Mm-hmm. Or take, for example, linesmen in a utility company. They no longer work with physical shinning up a, you know, pole. They work with pneumatic gadgets and they work with sophisticated equipment now. So much of the connection that was required to understand how these jobs were changing, that just didn't happen. Business thought it's enough to sit in advisory councils at the local community college. Very often the people on those councils are retired small business owners. You're not really seeing engagement from large employers who have a large number of healthcare middle skills jobs, for example, or network security middle skills jobs, going to a community college and saying, look, I need every year about 50 or 60 or maybe 500 people to come and work for me. Here is the kind of workforce readiness I need. This is what I need in the curriculum. Kate, we're at the Harvard Business School. We have employers who come into the school and hire and tell us this is what we want on Wall Street, or this is what we want when we have people coming into management positions. We maintain in higher ed education institutions a very close connection with employers. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that same level of connection is just not happening at the community college level.
We're looking at this strained relationship between employers and two-year colleges with Manjari Raman, who oversees the Managing the Future of Work project at Harvard Business School, out with a new white paper. You can join in at 800-642-1234. I want to break down just a bit of these survey findings that, you know, nearly all community college leaders considered it, quote, very important for employers and community colleges to partner. Only about like 3 out of 5 employers shared this view. What do you make of that gap? What is driving that employer reservation?
I'm sorry to say, but sheer laziness. Employers are looking to hire in the open market. Employers believe that the best way they can find skills is by, just hiring people away from their competitor. Well, I'd like to ask those employers, how well is that going? The reality is, in the long term, if you have large hiring needs and substantial hiring needs, you should be working with the local community college. You know, this report looked at a survey of community college leaders. We partnered with the American Association of Community Colleges, and about 25% of the community colleges responded to the survey, which is huge. And we also asked business leaders for their opinion on the same questions. And what we found consistently, we created a framework of about 40 actions that should prove the level of collaboration. We found that all community colleges tended to take a majority of those actions. Our educators are trying very hard to reach out to business and upgrade the curriculum. However, business leaders, when we ran those actions by them, there was not even one action that I could say more than 60% of the business leaders were doing. The engagement level was low. Business was not stepping forward. Business was not reaching out to the local community college leader and talking about their needs. If the community college president reaches out to Mr. CEO, unfortunately, nobody responds to the community college president. So the onus has to come, and the first step has to come from business. And this survey process really pointed out that there's a huge gulf in how both sides need to communicate to each other and invest in each other.
Manjari Raman directs the Managing the Future of Work project at Harvard Business School. New research out bringing to light this disconnect between two-year colleges and the needs of employers. Call in with your questions about workforce training programs. Share how equipped you felt entering your industry with a two-year degree. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We dig into how employer and educator partnerships work in Wisconsin, nationwide. A first-of-its-kind survey and white paper out from Harvard Business School says this is a wake-up call, shining a light on what is hurting collaboration. Call in with your questions, your comments on connecting students with careers, 800-642-1234. Manjari Raman is director of Harvard's Managing the Future of Work Project. The white paper is called The Partnership Imperative. Let's take a call now. Jane is in Suamico. Jane, hi. What would you like to talk about?
Yes, good morning. I appreciate the show. I am wondering if the speaker could address the change in unions and the fact that unions are no longer very tied to businesses, and how unions used to train people on the job and there were apprenticeships and progressions with unions.
Jane, thank you. Apprenticeships and the decline of unions, Manjari.
That is a great question, Jane. Certainly in the ecosystem, unions played a tremendous role. And as unions and their ability to work with employers and employers and their ability to work with unions has weakened, you are absolutely right. That has further contributed to a decline in the very necessary things like apprenticeships. You can't have people. So many employers are complaining. The candidates I see from the local community college are not workforce ready. Well, did you offer them an apprenticeship? Did you say what kind of workforce readiness you need? Did you partner with the community college and say, this is the technical skill I need? But also, here is the foundational skill I need. I need more problem solving because I have a lot more automation that can go wrong. It's these type of conversations which could have earlier taken place in the environs of a union discussion now are just not happening. So, Jane, you're absolutely right. That's another big contributing factor why the ecosystem is not working properly, because, you know, that piece where unions were taking care of such training, that's weakened.
Let's shift our focus here on solutions. How can employers start to improve their relationships with these colleges?
It's interesting, but none of this is rocket science. So the good news is there is a gulf, but it is incredibly easy and quick to bridge the gulf. All that needs to happen is senior management, not HR. So we want to be very clear with this. It's not the chief HR officer who has to lead this. It needs to be senior management from the C-suite, preferably the CEO, reaching out to the local community college leader and setting up an initial conversation on the skills, middle skills needs for their organization. Once the conversation is set up, by all means, hand it off to middle management and the HR department to work out the details. That's fine. But what we find is, and this is something the survey went into on both sides, community college leaders gave very clear feedback that unless we have a commitment from the senior management, these partnerships don't work. And similarly, whenever we interviewed business leaders, we found that partnerships really worked well when the senior management bought into it. And because senior management buys into it, they then track the metrics. Is the partnership working? Are we hiring the right people? Are those people staying in our jobs? Are they able to have a career pathway? What is the next level of people we can hire from the community college? A virtuous cycle starts playing instead of the current vicious cycle.
Are there college systems that are bucking this trend, states that are kind of leading the way to innovating alongside their businesses?
It's not states as much as it is a few companies and partnerships. We definitely came across great examples. I can, you know, Walla Walla Community College is tying up with Seattle's healthcare systems to provide nursing assistants, even though they are far away from Seattle, but, you know, it creates a pool of talent for Washington State. We heard of Monroe Community College and partnerships over there. Chattanooga Community College has a great partnership with a couple of the German companies. One is a chemicals plant manufacturer. Valencia Community College has a great partnership with Disney, for example, for all the way from, and by the way, some of these are simple things like, are you providing English-speaking courses? One of the things our survey revealed is that employers don't think about English as a language, and that really inhibits a lot of community college students from being perceived as workforce ready.
What about employers feeling proprietary or a level of secrecy about their knowledge or how the job gets done in their company, how they deploy certain technologies or skills? I mean, does that thinking factor in at all here with this reservation from employers?
It's a very narrow-minded, small-minded reservation. What you do uniquely in your company often cannot be replicated in another company. You become better and better. That's your competitive advantage. Whenever people ask me this question, the other alternative, the counterfactual is, so then what? Would you rather have untrained people working in your company? No. You have to bring people in. You have to train them on your way of doing things. And you have to live with the fact that they're going to leave one day. Well, they won't leave if you offer them a career pathway. So companies who do things well understand the whole value chain of this activity. You bring in talent, you nurture talent, you grow talent. Companies who don't do things well worry about issues like this and worry about churn because they are not nurturing their talent. They are not worrying about retaining their talent.
Looking at ways to improve the relationship between employers and community colleges with Manjari Raman, oversees the Managing the Future of Work project at Harvard Business School. Manjari, something that I thought was really interesting in your recommendations is more transparency in how to shore up this quote-unquote leaky pipeline. The transparency about what the job will pay, what that career path will look like. Can you talk a little bit about that?
This is a great question, Kate, because in all our research, we are completely confounded by the fact that employers seem to almost want to hide and bury the information of the career pathways. And especially when it comes to middle skills positions and their lowest wage earners, they simply don't lay out enough information in the public domain that if you join my company and maybe you're earning the lowest wage possible, you're an hourly wage worker, maybe you're a middle skills worker, you don't have a four-year college degree, but come join my company. Here are the resources we provide you. If you stay here for 3 years, this is the kind of training you'll get. This is how your wages will improve. These are your next two levels that you will be promoted to. In previous research, we found that most middle skills, low wage earners in organizations across industries are not able to say what the next level is, leave alone what the next three levels is. There is no communication even when people join a company. The one example I found which was different was Chipotle, where if you go on their website, they very clearly lay out 8 levels, saying that if you join us as a crew member, this is the salary that you'll receive, $41,000. It's written there on the website. Anyone can read it. The next level, you will become, let's say, assistant senior crew member. I'm making this up. But the salary level, the title is written there. And it goes all the way till you can become a restaurateur. And Chipotle talks about success stories on their website. Chipotle talks about the challenges of becoming and growing within the organization. That is, an important thing, that companies should be transparent and say, you should want people to join you. Lay it out there. People will come and join you. But unfortunately, we tend to keep these things, as I said, when an organization gets it, they do many things right. When organizations don't get it, they do many things wrong, and they just hurt themselves.
Manjari, thank you for sharing this research.
Thank you very much.
Manjari Raman is director and senior researcher of the Managing the Future of Work Project at Harvard Business School. We have a link to this white paper, The Partnership Imperative, Community Colleges, Employers, and America's Chronic Skills Gap. It's at WPR.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We check in now on the shifting economy in Wisconsin, workforce training and collaboration between employers and the 16 technical colleges in our state. They all reported enrollment growth, by the way, last school year. Call in with your questions about tech colleges, their role in the job market in Wisconsin's economy, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Morna Foy is president of the Wisconsin Technical College System. Morna, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Well, we've been having this conversation, hearing from Harvard's Manjari Raman about this misalignment, this disconnect between employers and two-year colleges that she surveyed. What do you make of the survey's findings?
I could not agree more with the majority of the conclusions of the report. I agree that partnerships between colleges and employers is critical to the success of both. And it's a little surprising to me because it's not the experience of the Wisconsin Technical College System. We've talked before, but I think you know, partnership with employers is not only a part of our culture, it's also a part of our organizational and infrastructure and our design and how we operate. So we have a lot of the recommendations in the Harvard study already in place here in Wisconsin. And I think that that gives us a big advantage in terms of moving Wisconsin's economy forward.
Can you go into that a little bit? What are the state of these partnerships that you have in the technical college system, and where are some of the challenges and the barriers?
Well, the formal elements of our system that involve employers is really a partnership relationship. It's not a one-off where employers are seeking to fill some positions in any given time. It's a integrated relationship over many, many years. Employers serve on our governing boards. They serve on advisory committees for every one of our program offerings. We cannot start a new program or change in any significant way programs without input from employers, which we get on a continuing and regular basis. We have employers who support our programs with equipment donations and internship opportunities for our students and externship opportunities for our faculty. We require all of our occupational faculty to have experience in the field, in the industry in which they are teaching. So it gives them a real genuine understanding of the issues being faced by that industry, the requirements of those jobs. We reevaluate our curriculum, not just what we're teaching, but how we're teaching it on an annual basis to make sure that it is meeting the needs of businesses and employers in the moment, just in time. And I think that the results of those processes is shown in our outcomes. Very, very high placement rate. Whether the economy is doing well or not, tech college graduates find employment. Our students report very high satisfaction rates with their education. And just as importantly, our employer partners report very high satisfaction rates with our relationship, with the preparation that their new hires possess and the skills that they have. So we have an ongoing relationship. That's very, very positive, and I think has kept the technical colleges really providing the talent that's needed in the workforce today and in the future, instead of focusing on what might have happened in the past.
Circling,
I think the challenge with that.
I just want to jump in here because circling back to those annual curriculum evaluations, mm-hmm. You know, once you do those evals, how often does the teaching change, the material change, after an evaluation?
Right away. I mean, that's the beauty of it being an ongoing relationship. Those conversations can happen regularly. They don't have to, you know, we bring together our groups of advisory or program committee advisors once a year at least, but the conversations with employers happen on an ongoing basis between them and our faculty, and those adjustments can be made immediately. It has to be done that way if you want to stay current with the speed of business. We are also very mindful that sometimes we have to modify programs because of a change in industry. And that happens in a more gradual way to make sure that students aren't, you know, given a different set of expectations midway through their program. But it has really helped the way that we've broken our curriculum up into more stackable credentials so that students can complete a section. In many cases, they are working at the same time they're going to school, but if not, they can get a job with that credential and then come back to school later, oftentimes being paid for by their employer, to complete the next step. And it really helps keep currency with what's going on in the world of work.
Do you hear at all from faculty feeling perhaps overextended? I mean, they're fulfilling their teaching duties, they're guiding students, they're updating their curriculum and being expected to be in the field, actively engaging employers at the highest level of a company. That's a lot to put on a faculty's plate.
It is, but it's part of the what I said about what's unique about the Wisconsin Technical College system. Our faculty come into these teaching positions with that understanding that that's part of the process. And it's also, you know, for them, it makes sure that they are keeping pace with what's going on in the world of work. A lot of them have come from industry themselves. And so they want their students to be successful when they graduate. And in order for them to be successful, to find employment, to make sure they're be able to contribute right away, they have to be keeping current with what employers want. It's a cooperative relationship. Our faculty are not out there on their own trying to figure out what employers need. They have conversations and commitment from our employer partners to share that information. That's one thing that came up in the study, that it would be very difficult to start from scratch and to build relationships with all of the companies and all of the employers in Wisconsin that need talent right now. But because we have this longstanding relationship and we have formal structures for employers to get engaged with their college, it's a lot easier. And that's, I think, you know, I just came from a national workforce conference, and all the conversations were, I could characterize a lot of them as, how can we get to be and design ourselves more like the Wisconsin Technical College system?
Talking about job training workforce needs with Morna Foy, president of the Wisconsin Technical College system. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Shift the focus here, budget. The technical college system requesting an additional $75 million from the state budget over the next 2 years to expand job training. How would this money be used?
For a variety of different things, and in a variety of different ways by the 16 colleges. As you know, they are independent entities in a way, and they have to respond to the needs of their local communities. And as a result, they have different industries that they support, different size employers that they support. They have different populations and different groups that are dominant in terms of their underserved populations, whether it's justice involved, veterans, working parents. And so they are all going to put funds into different programming that fill gaps that they might have in their own colleges or that meet unique needs of their local communities. I mean, the challenge that we have right now is that there are requests for skilled talent in every single industry in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And that's where in the past, you know, I think we always had demand from, you know, healthcare industry, this cycle, manufacturing, law enforcement. But right now, it is across the board, and we need to ramp up our efforts in multiple directions all at once.
In terms of reskilling and upskilling, the system wanting an additional $3.5 million to expand resources there. What skills are Wisconsin employers having trouble finding? How do you envision this upskilling?
These are funds that would be administered to partnerships between colleges and employers for specific training activities. And the amount is, this is a program where we already have $4 million in our workforce advancement training grants. And there's oversubscribed. So we don't have enough money to meet the demand that's out there right now. And this is for incumbent worker training. So this is not, this is where an employer or a group of employers, which has been something very interesting about these grants, competitors will actually come together and say, we need supervisory management. We are all having issues with recruitment or with, you know, training our managers to deal with this new generation of workers. And we'd like to get some training for our supervisory management teams. They may be a very specific, we got new pieces of equipment and we need to have our staff trained on site on how to use this piece of equipment, or we're instituting a new process. So unlike our academic programs or our certifications, WAT grants are oftentimes very specific instruction or training opportunities that employers or groups of employers request.
Let's bring on a call. Chandra in Ironwood. Hi, go ahead, Chandra.
Hi there. Yeah, I'm starting a childcare facility in Ironwood, Michigan. And I know that there is a crisis across the country and probably the globe concerning childcare. And I'm wondering what kind of model or systems you have in place that have been successful, if any, concerning childcare and your college. I'm wondering how I can collaborate with my local community college to help with this crisis.
Chandra, thank you. Morna Foy.
Well, get on the phone with them right away, Chandra, because childcare is a huge problem, not just for our employees, but for our students. Most technical college students are working while they're going to school, and many of them are parents. And you are right. We have a lot of areas of the state where there are just not that many child care opportunities. And we also have an issue with COVID and other things where, you know, it's just very hard to get sustained, uninterrupted child care services in a lot of places in Wisconsin. So the technical colleges are all exploring different ways to make these services available. We don't offer direct child care services anymore, but we are reconsidering that. We are also partnering with local providers in a variety of different ways to make sure that our students and our employees can access child care. We also have early childhood education programs at the technical colleges. So we're always looking for ways to place students and give them that real life experience in a center. So there's a lot of different ways that you could connect with your local college. And I would just really encourage you to get on the phone and talk to them as soon as possible.
Reach out and start that conversation. Morna Foy leads the Wisconsin Technical College system, 16 colleges, hundreds of thousands of students enrolled each year. Join a conversation anytime with your questions about higher ed, experiences with job training, workforce, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We probe technical college offerings, how they square with employer needs in Wisconsin to create a skilled workforce. President of the Wisconsin Technical College System, Werner Foy, is here. You can be part of this conversation, calling your questions, your comments on the state's pipeline of workers, 800-642-1234. Katie in Clinton is here. Katie, hi, go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I just wanted to lend my support to the tech colleges. Three of my four children were able to access the Start College Now program through our local high school, and all three of those kids are gainfully employed. We did a CDL for truck driving. We did a diesel mechanic, and my youngest was welding. She actually just is able to go on to become an apprentice with a company that she's working for. But the Start College Now program, partnering with the high schools, with the work-based learning, the youth apprenticeships, the tech colleges are great for all of that kind of thing, and really want to sing the praises of those programs.
Katie, thank you so much for sharing that personal story. Werner Foy, what can you tell us about this program?
Well, this is one of our dual enrollment opportunities for high school students. It's a great program because it allows students at the high school level to take college courses taught by their local high school teacher in most cases, and stay in their, you know, their local area, no transit time or trying to find a way to get a ride onto campus. And they can really earn a significant amount of their college program. In fact, we have students graduating with an associate degree before they graduate from high school, free of charge to the students. So that's the bulk of that program. And it's there are some other options where we do academies, and there's some, you know, contributing resources from the school district and from the colleges, but we reach over 60,000 Wisconsin high school students every year. And this is a part of that partnership conversation, because while employer partnerships are crucial for technical colleges and our programming, so are our partnerships with K-12 school districts and with local economic development organizations and workforce development organizations. And, you know, it's a real community effort that comes together to design program array that meets the needs of that community. I'm really happy to hear about the success of Katie and her family. That connection, for example, with her youngest welding work in high school, now leading to an apprenticeship. That's partnership that we have with the Department of Workforce Development that runs Wisconsin's Registered Apprenticeship Program. So it's a very exciting time to see the way that different organizations can come together to serve our communities.
Can we spend a moment on transferability of credits? Is transferability of college credits limiting the state's ability to train its workforce? What do you see out there?
Well, you know, transferability is an ongoing issue for higher ed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that right now we are in probably the best place that we've been in since I have been with the technical college system. And it has a lot to do with the recognition of employers and students and prospective students about the need to continually upskill and upgrade. So there's been a lot of push from outside groups to support the transferability, the stackability of post-secondary credits. And that's helped a lot. We're doing more transfer work now with more partners than we ever have in the past. And that includes the University of Wisconsin system. We've made a lot of progress in the last few years building relationships. Again, it's all about those partnerships and get people getting to know each other, our faculty getting to know each other, understanding what they're teaching. But we're doing a lot of transfer in the tech college system now. And I think that that's a really good thing, but there's absolutely more that we need to do. We need to make it a seamless process for all students, regardless of the program area that they're in.
And specifically drilling down into the Fox Valley Technical College news, just for a moment, your thoughts there on now transferring, you know, a major expansion of transferring liberal arts degrees to the UW. Why is there this expansion of two-year liberal arts programs needed now?
It's really a matter of equity and opportunity. And that's something that we've gone through in the last year. We've always had liberal arts transfer programs in the technical college system, but only in a few institutions. And as part of this, I think acknowledgement that we need to have more pathways for more kinds of students, it became pretty obvious that there were students who wanted to transfer all around the state. There were students who wanted to go to a technical college to start their post-secondary careers, but weren't necessarily set on a specific occupational area. Mm-hmm. And if they were taking gen ed, say at the Fox Valley, they couldn't get financial aid for those. But if they were in Madison, they could. And that started raising questions about why. Why should students in Madison or Milwaukee or La Crosse have an opportunity to explore and pursue and start their careers at a technical college where they felt most comfortable and where they had we have strong student supports. But if you were in the Fox Valley or you were in Wausau, you couldn't do that. And you know, that's a question we asked. And I think it's one that our university partners were also concerned about, because we had students that were transferring out of technical colleges and they were going other places besides the UW or Wisconsin institutions. And, you know, that's a concern for them in terms of their enrollments and in terms of them meeting their mission to serve the state. So it's really about making sure that the same opportunities for post-secondary pursuits exist everywhere. It's never going to be the main business of our technical colleges, but it is an important option for some students to have.
Morna Foy, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Morna Foy is president of the Wisconsin Technical College System. Earlier, we talked with Manjari Raman of Harvard Business School. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.